I used to believe I was trapped. I was bound by anger, fear, and addictions.
My life before Jesus was definitely a life of self. For me, I turned to what I felt like was the next best thing, and that was a substance for me. That was alcohol.
Before Christ, I was selling my body and very public with displaying myself.
Before Jesus, I thought I was in control of my life. I used to self-medicate, whether it was drinking or doing drugs, just to feel something.
As a Muslim, God was so far away. I felt like God was gonna smite me at any moment for doing anything.
For 20 years, I struggled with alcohol. You know, I led community groups, was at every prayer night. My life was all about justifying my actions. It was about trying to earn my way to salvation and to the cross.
My life before Jesus was mainly, it was just a lot of confusion and a lot of darkness, and it just took me down a road of really deep, deep sadness.
I used to chase after friendships that were not doing me any good. I knew that was not okay, but I was trying to find something to fill this hole inside me.
Before Christ, I was asleep and held captive by addiction. The resurrection of Jesus gave me victory and made me alive.
I was bound by my addiction, but because of the resurrection, I was healed and have victory in Jesus.
The resurrection showed me that I have victory and a new identity in Christ.
The resurrection of Jesus gave me victory over alcohol abuse and called me to freedom and new life in Christ Jesus.
While I was seeking Allah to get me out of my pain, I found Jesus, and His light and His resurrection gave me victory.
I've been able to experience a joy that I never had, and that perfect love that doesn't come from me, but it comes from Him. This is resurrection life.
I was in prison by my thoughts, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ set me free.
But the resurrection shows me that Jesus loves me, and I have victory in knowing that that can never be taken away.
Can we thank God for these testimonies in our church? Listen, guys, I want you to hear, this is not some stock video we found on YouTube or something. These are real people in our church who have been redeemed, who have been changed by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's what I know. When I watch that, my heart is encouraged to believe that God can heal anybody from anything, anytime, if we would just believe. That God has that kind of power. That God, through the power of the resurrection, can bring victory and redeem the worst situations of your life. The ugliest, the vilest, the hardest things, the things that you're hoping nobody ever discovers about you, the resurrection can redeem it. Because the resurrection redeems everything. Do you realize that the resurrection redeemed the worst moment in human history? You do understand that, right? Crucifixion. The sinless Son of God came to earth, was crucified by the very people He came to save. That is the lowest of lows. You cannot get any lower than that. And 3 days later, when He was raised from the dead, it made the crucifixion beautiful. If the resurrection has the power to make the crucifixion beautiful, it can take whatever is going on in your life and make it beautiful. When God says He causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, that doesn't just mean the shiny things, the pretty things, the easy things, the good things. It means the worst, the ugliest, and the most shameful things He can use for good. He can redeem it, because that's what the resurrection does. And that power is available to every single one of you. I want to know, on Thursday morning, there were a bunch of staff, and we were in here, and we were just praying over you guys. And one of the prayers we were praying is that God would bring people here this morning, or that God would bring people to worship online who are at a place where they're saying, I'm at the end of my road. I don't know where else to turn, what else to do, but my life is broken. My life is in shambles. And I'm just holding on by a thread, praying that there's something good that can come from this. If that's where you're at, just know God brought you here as an answer to our prayer, because He's going to do something miraculous in your life this morning. But you won't get it unless you actually believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now I want to be real clear here. There's a difference between believing the resurrection and believing the resurrection. Those are two different things. You can think you believe the resurrection, or you can actually believe the resurrection. And they're not the same. And I'm just worried there are some of you who are here today and you think you believe the resurrection, but you don't actually believe it. Like, you so believe that you believe the resurrection that I could strap you up to a lie detector test and you would pass the test. No, I believe the resurrection. If I asked you in this room, I'm not going to raise your hand if you believe the resurrection is true of Jesus, I'll bet you the vast majority of you go, yeah, I believe it. And I believe that you believe that you believe it. And you may not really believe the resurrection. The way you tell the difference between the two isn't what you say you believe, it's what you show that you believe by your actions, not just your words. Maybe you can think of it this way. I've met people before, maybe you've met them too, who tell me that they believe that airplanes are safe to fly in, but won't actually get in one themselves. Like, they'll tell you, no, I believe airplanes are safe. I send my kids on them all the time. My friends and family, yeah, because I know the stats. I know that it's more dangerous. You know, you have more accidents and fatalities in cars than an airplane is the safest way to travel. I just ain't getting in one. Can I tell you what that means? It means you don't actually believe that they're safe for you. Because if you did, you'd get in one. Your actions show that you think you believe in it, but you don't believe in it. Or maybe a little closer to home, I noticed my doctor who's sitting over there in that section, and he gave me a warning this last time that my cholesterol is starting to get a little bit high. And he said, Jason, here's the deal. You can get on meds, or now I'm going to recommend you don't, but you're going to have to change your diet. A little less bacon. A little less red meat. A little less fatty foods. And I think if you do that, you won't have to get on the statin and you'll be okay. Now, I want you to know, you could strap me up to lie detector tests and I would say, I believe my doctor. He's telling the truth. Confession, brother, I'm sorry that you have to hear this now, but I'm still eating bacon. Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't want to. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I'm struggling so much to change, but can I tell you what that means? I think I believe my doctor, but I don't know if I really believe my doctor. And how many of us in this room don't actually change anything until the heart attack actually hits? We think we believe in something, but we don't actually believe in it because we don't change anything according to it. I got a question. How many of you in this room have ever bungee jumped before? Raise your hand if you have ever been crazy enough to bungee jump before. Maurice, you bungee jumped before? Bro, I got to check that out, man. Grounds of Gold himself has bungee jumped. That wasn't many of you, by the way, who raised your hand that you bungee jumped. And there's a reason why. Because it's scary. To jump up, to walk up to that bridge, to strap yourself in a bungee cord with a little, you know, harness on, and to jump. Now, I'll bet you that I could ask most of you, and you would say, no, I actually believe it's safe. I mean, I know they have to, like, rate them and they check them, and I see people do it. That's great for them. It looks exhilarating. I just ain't jumping. There's this fear that maybe for me it won't hold. I'm going to come right up to the edge. I'm standing by the bridge, and I could jump, and I'm going, nope, no thank you. Because what if it breaks? Well, let me tell you, if you're not willing to jump, it means you think you believe the cord will hold, but you don't actually believe it. Because if you believed it, you would jump. This is how it is with the resurrection. You could think you believe in the power of the resurrection and actually not believe the power of the resurrection because you don't jump. You don't dive into all things God with every bit of who you are. You want to dip your toe in it, and it doesn't work that way. You either believe in it or you don't believe in it at all. And all the power of the redemption of the resurrection is found in believing. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was trying to tell the Corinthian church because they were missing all the power of God. I want you to get your Bibles. I want you to open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, if you don't have your Bible or your Bible app with you, the words will be on the screen in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, when we're getting there, I want to help you understand what's going on. There's a context to what the Apostle Paul is about to say to the church in a city called Corinth. That's why the letter is called Corinthians. The first letter sent to the church in Corinth. Now, Corinth was a pagan city. It was dominated by what's called Hellenism. That's ancient Greek culture and worldview. And so it was very pervasive in there. So it was a big deal that somebody would renounce paganism and follow Jesus Christ. In fact, all of the believers in Corinth, if you were to ask them, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? 100% of them would raise their hand and say, I believe. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. But there was this problem. Because of Hellenism, because of that Greek culture, there was a change in philosophy that was starting to adjust the way people viewed the gospel. And so there's something in Greek culture called dualism. It's the belief that the person is made up of two parts, one that's evil, that's the body and the flesh, and the other side that's good, that's the soul or the spirit, the inside. And they believe that everything you could see, that's the evil side of it. Everything you couldn't see, that's the holy side. And they believe that the greatest thing of all is whenever your inside is freed from the slavery of the body. When you died, you got to shed your body like a snake does its skin, and you got to be released back to the divine power. Now, because that Greek ideology came into the church, they started to believe that if I believe in Jesus Christ, then my soul has been set free. So when I die, why in the world would I actually want to be resurrected? I don't want to have that sinful, bad body come back and trap my soul again. I get to be free. And so they said, I believe the resurrection of Jesus is true because he was a special case, but I don't believe I'm going to be resurrected because why would I want that? And so they were saying, I believe in the resurrection. And Paul's about to say, you think you do, but you don't actually believe in the resurrection. That's the context in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we jump into verse 12. Let me read it for you. Here's what it says. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Here's what he's saying. Guys, you think you believe in the resurrection, but you haven't put all these together. If you don't think that your body is going to be resurrected because the flesh is evil, why in the world would you think Jesus would want to put his body back on? If you don't want evil, he doesn't want evil put back on him. And therefore, if you don't believe in your resurrection, you don't actually believe in his resurrection. And let me tell you the results of that. If you don't believe in his resurrection, all that hope you were putting in Jesus washing you of your sins, it's false. It's not true. His death had no power to save you because it meant he lied when he said, I'll be raised the third day, and he didn't actually get raised. So you are still steeped in your sins and you have no hope. All that's waiting you is hell. Oh, and by the way, verse 18 says those family members that you were hoping to see again in glory, yeah, you're never going to see them again because they too will not be raised from the dead. You've lost them forever. Utter hopelessness simply because you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says everything crumbles when you don't believe in the resurrection. But then he steps up in verse 20 and says, but I want to tell you what I believe. Look at what he says in verse 20. He says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Like it's not a fairy tale. It's not fake, he's saying. Christ has been, because resurrection is real and good. And he says, believe in it. Because when you believe in it, it changes everything. That's actually what verse 19 was talking about. This is a picture of what it means to stand up to the edge of the bridge with that bungee cord strapped on you and jumping. Look at what verse 19 says. He says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, what do you think Paul means when he says, if only we have this life, pity me more than anybody else? What he's saying is, if there's no resurrection, if there's nothing that comes after this, then you should feel sorry for me because I jumped and the cord didn't hold. It snapped and I went kerpluck on the bottom. What Paul did when he lived was he put his money where his mouth was. He didn't just think he believed in the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection. And he staked everything on it. Now, this is a place where I worry about us because I don't know how many people would look at our lives and say to us, yeah, I best be pitying you if there's no resurrection because you're spending your life for Jesus. I think so many of us are trying just to be good people, living good lives, making a good living, and trying to be just decent people. And most people would say, well, it'd be really cool if you go to heaven, but even if there's not heaven, well, you know, you still had a good life. That's not what it looks like to jump. I want to read for you what it looks like to jump and to believe that your only hope is that the cord of the resurrection holds. So keep your place in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read for you what it looks like when somebody actually jumps. Beginning in verse 24, he's going to talk about what all he endured, what all Paul endured for the sake of the gospel and his belief in the resurrection. This is just a part of it, by the way. He says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. That's not the kind of person that you say, well, he lived a pretty good life. That's the kind of person you say, pobrecito, if there is no resurrection, because he just lost everything. He jumped and the cord didn't hold if there's no resurrection. But if there is a resurrection, then he gets to experience the vibrant power of Almighty God for all eternity. That's what it looks like to jump. To say, I'm putting all my chips on you, King Jesus. When you heard those video testimonies earlier of people who found redemption, it was people who said, I was trying to live my life with a safety net around me. I wasn't willing to jump. Now, every single one of them would have said, no, I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. But they hadn't jumped yet. But when they jumped, they found the redemptive power of the resurrection. That's what I don't want you to miss. I want you to miss that there is unbridled power from the resurrection to redeem the worst moments of your life if you would just come up to the edge and actually jump. I believe there are some of you here, and you limped into the service this morning. You came in here, and you are filled to the brim with shame. You're just praying the people around you don't know what you've done. You're ashamed of your addiction that you can't break. You're ashamed of your promiscuity. You're ashamed at the way you lie to people and try to put up this cover, hoping people will think you're better than you really are. But you know who you really are. You're ashamed by the things that have been done to you by people who were evil, and you carry that shame with you all the time. You're ashamed that you're the cause of your broken marriage. You're ashamed that you're the reason why you feel like a loser and act like a loser. You're just ashamed at so much in your life. You feel brokenness and despair, and you think there is no way God could ever redeem your life. He could redeem other people's lives, but not your life. God brought you here, if that's you. And he has a message for you. Because my resurrection is real, I can redeem anything. Whatever's going on in your life, he says, I can redeem it. All you got to do is jump. Victory comes to those who jump. You heard them say it on that video again and again. Victory. I have victory. I have victory. There are some of you who couldn't even imagine saying the word victory. And he wants to say, if you'll just jump and trust me, you'll experience my power, my victory. This is exactly what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. I want to finish. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to go toward the end of the chapter, this great chapter on the resurrection. I want you to see what it says about what comes to those of us who believe. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 54. It says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality. By the way, that's talking about resurrection. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what he's saying. He wants to show you he can redeem you. He can bring victory. Yes, you can experience victory. You just got to be willing to jump. Not just say you believe in the resurrection, but to actually put action to it. To believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of ways to do that, but there are some of you who are here this morning, and I believe there's a specific message God has for you. We're not going to do what we normally do on Sundays, where we have our prayer team down front, where you can come and you can have prayer and make a decision you want to do. We're going to do something different this morning, because I think there are some of you this morning who need a jump. That baptistry that you see right there, that's how you jump. That's how you walk up to the edge of the cliff and you say, God, I don't know where this is going to take me. I don't know what this is going to cost. I don't know what you're going to ask me to give up. I don't know how hard this is going to be. All I know, God, is I need you. All I know, God, is I got no hope without you. So I trust you. And you jump. That's a picture of you dying, going under the water, saying, I give up the right to my life because when I've been in control, all I've done is messed it up. I don't have anybody else to blame for my brokenness and my sin but me. And I raise the white flag and I say, it's my fault, God. Forgive me. Let me die. And then you come out of the water as a picture that you are raised from the dead today. You jumped and the cord held. Then you begin to experience the victory and the power of Almighty King Jesus. Let me go ahead and tell you what's going to happen if you take that step of faith. It redeems the worst of the worst in your life. You say, well, how in the world can that redeem the worst of the worst in my life? Let me tell you how I can redeem it. Think about this. All that shame, all that ugliness, all that brokenness that you want so desperately to get rid of. Let me tell you what it's been doing. It's been bringing you to get lower and lower and lower and lower and lower until you feel like you have no hope. You can't do anything but turn to Jesus. And when you turn to Jesus and you say, God, I can't take over. Please take over. He redeems you from the pit of hell and he gives you life everlasting. And now all of a sudden, that thing you were ashamed of becomes your story to redemption. What God used to make you ready to die to yourself and be raised for all eternity to Jesus Christ. That redeems everything in your past. You just got to say yes to him and jump. But here's the deal. I can help you put the cord on and the harness on. I can get you even up to the edge of the bridge. But I can't make you jump. The Lord's not going to make you jump. He's just calling you. And the question is, will you say yes? We were praying about this morning as a staff. There was a story we read in the Gospel of John. When Mary Magdalene, she found that the tomb was empty and she sees what she thinks is a gardener and says, where is his body? Would you please tell me? I've come here to honor the one I thought was the Messiah. But she has no idea it's Jesus until he does one thing. He says her name. He says, Mary. And instantly, she recognizes Jesus. He called her by name. Here's what I believe. I believe that in this room right now, there are some of you, and he's calling you by name. And he's saying, would you come to me? He's calling you by name. He said, I want to give you life. I want to redeem you. I want to show you there's victory in me. But you're either going to come to him, or you're going to turn away from him. The choice is entirely yours. Will you jump? In a moment, I'm going to walk down these steps and I'm going to stand in here all by myself and I'm inviting you to do something crazy. I'm inviting you in a moment to come slip down and come stand with me and say, I'm ready. I'm ready to jump. I'm ready to see the redemption of Jesus Christ in me. And I want you to know that's going to be a hard thing to do. And there's some of you right now in hearing that you're already starting to squirm. And you're starting to go, oh, please, not me, not me. Oh, God, don't do that to me. Don't call my name. Oh, God, don't call my name. I don't want to go up there. If he's calling you, and I believe he's calling many of you in this room, you got a choice to make. You can step up to the edge and get afraid and pull back and say, not today, God. Maybe some other day. Not today. I'm not going to jump today. Or you can walk up to the edge, say, I got nowhere else to go but you, God, and you can jump. What's going to happen if you come down with me is you're going to be led right outside these doors and you're going to have a chance to counsel with somebody. And it's going to be a chance for you to make sure that you understand the gospel as you speak with a counselor. And if you're ready today, I'm going to give you the best Easter gift you're going to get. It's a t-shirt that says, Jesus in my place. And you're going to change it into some shorts. Before you leave here today, you're going to get a chance to testify that you believe the cord is going to hold. That you're not just going to talk about the resurrection. You're going to believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ and put your life in his hands. But the scariest thing you could ever do is come down front. Every bit of you is going to start to feel squeamish and squirmy. It's uncomfortable. What are people thinking? I came with my family. What are they going to think when I go talk to them after? Don't worry about any of that. If you knew that being uncomfortable for just a few minutes of your life could change your eternity, wouldn't you do it? A few minutes right now could change literally eternity. Wouldn't you do it? Son, when you walk up to the edge of a bridge and you got that cord strapped on you, you got butterflies everywhere. Should you jump? Should you not? And all the beauty and the exhilaration is found in jumping. God's got more to do in your life, but you got to jump. That's what I want to give you a chance to do right now. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to come down front. And if you're ready to meet with me, and you're ready to say, I'm ready to take that step of faith, I'm ready to be baptized, you can come meet me down front. We'll stand and wait for a moment. You come meet with me. It's time. Hey, can we thank the Lord again for how he's moving and bringing people forward? I want y'all to know, all of you standing down here, down front, you've given courage to people in this room. You've reminded them what it looks like to take a step of faith, to do something hard. Every person in this room is encouraged by the fact that y'all came down right now. And thank you for it. So here's what's going to happen. I have Pastor Larry Dan over here. He's going to lead you down that aisle, and you're going to have a chance to go talk with somebody and make sure that you're ready for this step. And then we're going to wait for you because we want to see you declare your faith in Jesus Christ. And while they're walking out, can we just thank the Lord for this group of people who've been willing to do this? Y'all just follow Pastor Larry Dan over there, and they'll help you take the step. Listen, while you're in the room, here's what I want you to know. Some of you right now are going, oh no, I missed my chance. Look, you just go behind them right now. You walk out with them right now. We have more room for you. We're going to worship God in here because I'm praying and hoping that before we leave and dismiss, you're going to get to see some baptisms take place in this room this morning. But there are some of you, and you're worried that you're stuck. You're worried your feet aren't moving. You want to come, but you can't. This is when you need to start praying. This is when you need to say, oh God, give me strength that I don't have right now. My legs won't move. Spirit, fill me. I want to go, but I can't go. And while we're worshiping the Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand right over there in that corner. And I'm going to wait for you. If there's more of you who need to come, you come find me. You come stand with me, and I'll help you take that step of faith. I got Pastor Jim over there with me. And we're going to stand there, and we're going to wait for you while we worship. And then we're going to have some baptisms. It's going to be the most beautiful thing we're going to do all day is watch people testify to their faith in Jesus Christ. So while we're worshiping, the Lord is still calling. He's saying your name. It's time to come. By the way, if you're watching online and you live in the area and you're going, oh man, I wish I was there. Get in your car and come right now. I'm going to wait for you. Get in your car and you come and you step into that water and you experience the victory in Christ Jesus. We're going to wait for you. You get over here now. Put on your slippers. Get your shorts on. Come. But if you're in the room, it's right here just waiting for you. I'm ready to meet with you. Let's meet the Lord and let's praise Him.